Did you know that collagen makes up 30% of the protein in your body? It's the substance that gives structure, support, and strength to your skin, muscles, bones, and connective tissues. Collagen is what keeps our skin firm and youthful, preventing it from sagging. It also supplies amino acids that are crucial for building healthy hair and protecting hair follicles. The collagen supplement that I use and recommend to my patients is Revive by Bright Core Nutrition. Revive combines five types of collagen with hyaluronic acid and biotin to heal and nourish your skin, hair, and nails. Studies show that collagen also helps relieve joint inflammation and pain. If you're looking to heal your body from the inside out and reverse some effects of aging, Revive could be your answer. For more information and to order, visit mybrightcore.com/Hoffman. That's mybrightcore.com/Hoffman or call 888-592-9909. That's 888-592-9909. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, buy two bottles of Revive and get one free, plus a collagen sheet mask as a free gift. That's mybrightcore.com/Hoffman for Revive Multi-Collagen Protein. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. That means that I'm discussing your questions with Layla Mutin, who is our resident nutritionist. Together, we answer questions every week as part of our weekly podcast Q&A with Layla. And the way to get through to us is questions@drhoffman.net. And a little announcement, we're going to take a little time off next week because, we've been pretty faithful to this, but, pretty much like 50 of 52 weeks of the year. We generate weekly Q's and A's with Layla, but we're going to take a little time off for just kind of rest our vocal cords and to spend some time with friends and family over the holidays. Yep. So I want to announce something that's coming up a little bit down the pike, but you can plan ahead. This holiday season, don't miss out on your chance to stock up on your favorite supplements because we are going to have a Black Friday Cyber Monday sale. Everybody else is doing it, so let's get in on the action. That's a buy full script online supplement dispensary. Now, mark this date down, November 29th through December 3rd, 5 days only, you get 10% off and free shipping on my entire inventory of top supplements, where literally there are hundreds, if not thousands, of supplements available to you at drhoffmanstore.com, where we stock only the highest quality supplements, and some of which are very hard to find elsewhere. It's a safe, reliable way to get supplements free of counterfeiting and adulteration and, with a shelf life that's not years because they have very, very quick turnover. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for 10% off. If you haven't already signed up, just sign up for full script and it'll avail you of the opportunity to get supplements there. But from November 29th, the end of this month through December 3rd, we've got our Black Friday sale.
And it's 5 days only. Yep.
drhoffmanstore.com. So mark it down. All right. What's next?
Okay, we've got a question from Renata, a longtime listener. She's been listening for 2 decades to Dr. Hoffman.
That could be.
My DEXA score for my hip is a negative 2.4.
Okay.
2 years ago, it was a negative 1.5. So she's still on the cusp of osteoporosis.
Wow. Wait,
would be negative 2.5.
Just 2 years ago, it was 1.5 and then it went to minus 2.4?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a little bit... that's suspect because usually osteoporosis progresses gradually. And so I don't know. I mean, there is variation based on, if you go to a different center or if you are positioned differently or if you use a different machine. Because
there can be a discrepancy there.
Because, you went from, a moderately good score. I don't know how old this person is. She doesn't state that, right?
No.
But a minus 1.5, right? Used to be 1.5.
Yes.
That's actually for somebody who's maybe 70, that's a pretty average or, maybe even above average score on a Z score, which is compared to your age match peers. of same sex.
Yeah.
So the scores are, you use your T-score. That's a T-score. T-scores are how many standard deviations you are below the average for a healthy 35-year-old. So you're now approaching the zone of osteoporosis, because the threshold for osteoporosis is a minus 2.5. And these numbers get bigger, they're worse. So it's below zero. So it's kind of like, you know, think of the temperature. The higher the temperature below zero, the colder it is. Okay. So you're below, you know, zero would be like you're like an average 35-year-old. That's great if you're 70.
Yeah.
And atypical. So anyway, so that's a, I'm just saying that's a bit of a jump. And I don't know, but that's the latest information we have. Yeah. So the question is, should she take strontium?
Yeah, she says her endocrinologist is willing to let her try strontium for a year and then take another bone mineral density test. Now, Dr. Hoffman, the left hip neck is a negative 2.4 and the right hip neck is a negative 2.3.
That kind of makes sense, because usually there's not that much of a disparity. There can be a little different, you know, depending on which side you favor.
Yeah. So Renata's asking, do you still recommend 681 milligrams and for how long?
600 and change. You know, I think it's 660 or something like that. Some of the formulations, some of them are 300, some of them are 330. That would be, I mean, you could do that for years on end. Here's the thing, and I think your endocrinologist recognizes this, is some of the increase in the bone density will be spurious. In other words, it'll be based on the false impression that strontium yields on a DEXA, because strontium is denser than calcium. It shines more brightly. However, let's say you go from a 2.4 to a 1.4. That would be exceedingly good, but I've sometimes seen jumps of that magnitude. You have to have that. You have to say, okay, some of that's due to the opacity or brightness of strontium when it registers in your bone, but some of that's real. Some of that is a real enhancement of bone density. And
I remember you saying, Dr. Hoffman, you would use this as a comparison. If somebody comes back with a 12% increase in their bone mineral density, you would call that 6%.
Exactly. That's another way to look at it.
Because of the illumination of strontium.
Percentage is actually a better way to think of it. Than the absolute number. So
we don't want Renata taking strontium for years and years and years and years.
Right.
How long do you like strontium to be taken for?
Well, I mean, as an example, you know, I had my bone density checked and I found it was a little low. It wasn't osteoporotic, but I was a little surprised. It was like, I don't know, minus 1.7 or something. And I was a little disappointed. And I took strontium for 2 years and I just knocked it right back up to, you know, below zero, but like minus 0.2 or 0.3. I did it for about 2.5 years. And I've stopped. I've subsequently stopped. But I do plan to get another bone density maybe when I'm 75, just to make sure I haven't lost ground. And then I could take it again for a while. I just don't think that people should take strontium perpetuity, because it frankly is a little unnatural. I mean, you know, calcium is something natural in the diet. Strontium, you get a little bit in the diet, but strontium is an example of something that is in a regulatory loophole, because in Europe, it's a prescription, and here it's available over the counter. I mean, it's through whatever sleight of hand it was made available. It's natural, but it's also not natural in that amount.
Right. But the formulation in Europe is strontium
ranelate. Yes, it's different. Yeah.
Yeah, but the formulation here is strontium citrate.
Right.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. There were studies done in Europe on strontium ranelate.
And
I think there was some question about cardiovascular risk. But again, we want to stress that it's not strontium citrate that they were testing.
Right.
It was Ranolfi.
And so the other thing is that while strontium makes the bone density appear better, there are also real benefits in terms of reduction of fractures, both hip and vertebral fractures with strontium. So if it just made the picture look better, I'd say, hey, you know, guess what? Taking really high dose fluoride, you know, we know now the hazards of high dose fluoride, it will make your bones light up beautifully. Like, oh my goodness, your bones are so strong now. But it's toxic, and B, while it makes the bones look better, it makes them more brittle. So we have to look at not just the picture of the DEXA, but also outcomes. Like after taking this thing, do people have less fractures? And I have to say that the natural mineral form of strontium, which is available in the United States, is less well studied than the strontium ranelate in Europe. But based on the idea that strontium is the active ingredient of strontium ranelate, it does seem to prevent fractures, which is the goal, not just to enhance bone density, which could be just sleight of hand.
With any of our patients and clients that we've seen over the years, Dr. Hoffman, it was always part of a regimen that we saw those improvements in bone mineral density.
So
strontium was always added.
So we have MK7. We have adequate calcium, but not like, you know, massive amounts of calcium. We have
vitamin D,
yeah.
We have magnesium, we have Ostera, which we like, which is hops.
Yep.
That tends to slow that rapid turnover of bone.
It's just an anti-inflammatory effect because osteoporosis is an inflammatory disease. So it works on a pathway called the Rankel pathway, which is a pathway of inflammation. There's other, even olive leaf has some anti-osteoporosis effects. So we're discovering more and more about substances that can affect osteoporosis. I'll see if I can pull some up, you know, while you're asking the next question, and I might have.
Yeah.
Because I just saw something that surprised me about I'll check in my files, my electronic files here.
Okay. Renata, thank you for that. Thank you for that question. And Renata is a listener for 2 decades. Woo-hoo! Thank you. Okay. Well, I haven't been doing it for 2 decades, but certainly Dr. Hoffman has. So,
and Leah.
Our next question is from Judy. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. My recent blood test results showed on a complete blood count, MCHC, which is mean corpuscular hemoglobin concentration, that's MCHC, is a 31.6, and normal is between 32 and 36. What does that mean? Judy, you're not low per se in MCHC. It was just borderline. A good idea might be to take it again.
Yeah, I'll tell you, let me just say this, you know, you'll see, you know, you get your blood test, and now we have full disclosure and sharing with patients, and you have a portal, and you can look at your blood test, download it, and then peruse it, and then you'll say, this is high, this is low, oh my God, I'm in trouble. I got to tell you, I don't really look at MCHC on a blood test.
No.
I mean, it's available. If people have some form of anemia, hematologists sometimes use MCHC to help to differentiate various conditions, that this condition or that condition may be due to, you know, a bone marrow disorder, or it could be due to iron deficiency versus B12 or folate deficiency. But it's just a piece of information that is made available by automated blood counts, which look at the size of the blood cell and look at the brightness of the red color within the red blood cells. And then you get a number, which is mean corpuscular hemoglobin concentration, how much hemoglobin is in that red blood cell. And, you know, that could be a reflection of iron deficiency sometimes. But it doesn't, on its own, it doesn't mean anything. So I don't think in my entire career, I've based a diagnosis just on MCHC. And I've seen a lot of people with borderline, you know, MCHCs, and it doesn't, you know, get me too bent out of shape.
Yeah. Judy also says, my lipoprotein little a is less than 9. Is that good? Oh, absolutely.
There's some things where, you know, like a B12 that's too high, it's like, you know, it's like having too much money. There's also some things that, you know, where LP little a is a risk factor. It's a kind of a hidden risk factor for cardiovascular disease, because a lot of people are not aware of their LP little a, but really you can get a really good read on your cardiovascular risk by looking at three things: your LDL cholesterol, but that alone is not good, because some people with high are fine and some people with low get heart attacks. And LPA over 100 is considered a risk factor, and it's a hereditary risk factor. It's not a merit system. It's not about diet or, you know, lifestyle or exercise. And then there's C-reactive protein, which is an inflammatory marker. You look at those three things as a composite. There's three. If you want to just check three things, those are great ways to predict cardiovascular risk. LP little a less than 10 is rare. It suggests exceedingly low risk for cardiovascular disease, even if you have a high cholesterol.
Yeah. Yeah. That lipoprotein little a is much more important, Judy, and you've got a really good level of that. Less than 9 is great.
Yeah, that's so great. Not to worry.
Not to worry at all. Okay.
Do we have go ahead.
Yeah. I think it's time for another word from one of our sponsors.
You read my mind. That's exactly what I was going to interject. So this is time to give over to our sponsors for an important message. So please listen up. Here goes. As you know, it's important to me that the supplements I recommend and use are of the highest quality. That's why I stock the Protocol for Life Balance product line in my online dispensary, drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research, including a suite of supplements supporting your cardiovascular health, Clinical Cardio 6, Ubiquinol, and K2, MK7, and D3. This collection offers a powerful combination of targeted nutrients and botanicals that are known to promote optimal cardiovascular health by supporting healthy blood pressure, arterial flexibility, cellular energy production, neutralization of free radicals, protection against oxidative stress, and promotion of healthy vascular structures. For more information and to order, just go to drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Protocol for Life Balance is an A-rated GMP manufacturer of premium dietary supplements. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. And now back to our question. Actually, I have something to add on, because I know there's always these articles that I see about some new obscure thing that helps bone density. Okay, so I have this filing system in my iPad where I can pull up all the stuff that I find interesting. So, a couple, some articles. Vitamin D during pregnancy boosts child's bone health even at age 7. Okay, so you actually...
Wow.
Your osteoporosis may be your mother's fault. She didn't have enough vitamin D.
Wow.
Right? Here's another one. Residential greenness tied to increased bone density. Lower osteoporosis risk. I'm not sure why, but I don't know. Maybe it reduces cortisol. You know, it's like...
Cortisol thins the bones. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. That's an interesting association.
Here's one. CBD may promote bone fracture healing as well as manage pain. Here's another one. Astaxanthin for bone. Astaxanthin is the thing that makes salmon red, you know, farm salmon red, and it's available as a supplement. Blueberries improve bone health. So there's a lot of things that can go into a comprehensive program of bone health. Of course, vitamin D.
Prunes as well. That came up in recent years. The addition of prunes to your diet can be favorable for bone mineral density. Yeah.
But don't go overboard, because you know what happens with too many prunes.
No, that's a lot of, that can be a lot of sugar.
Right. Well, not only that, but man, talk about laxatives. Okay.
Here's one.
A decrease in NAD contributes to loss of bone with aging. So NAD, right? Oh, very, very important one, protective role of melatonin for the osteoblasts. So the osteoblasts are the bone building things. Let's see. Yeah. Daily cheese intake, rich in vitamin K2, is anabolic, et cetera, et cetera. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, here's another one.
The main places for K2 is cheese and meat.
And environmental pollutants take a toll. PFAS exposure linked to weaker bones in teen boys. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Hard to get that out of the environment. So we really need to protect ourselves and grow in children.
But I do see a prune study. Eating prunes may help protect against bone loss in older women.
So
older ladies, if you have osteoporosis and you're constipated, eat some prunes. But mind your blood sugar.
And again, olive oil and bone health. We know that there's beneficial polyphenols in olive that enhance bone density. So anyway, there's a lot, a lot of ways to skin the cat.
Isn't it? Okay. Let's see here. We've got an email from Michael. Dr. Hoffman and Layla, you have been ardent proponents of the purported many benefits of intermittent fasting. Could you please comment on a recent study reviewed in the Wall Street Journal indicating that it is only good for weight loss? We're talking about intermittent fasting. This study reviewed in Wall Street Journal is indicating that intermittent fasting is only good for weight loss and not for other health benefits. We know it's good for other health benefits.
I've looked at this issue quite a lot because intermittent fasting is popular. There are different ways to do intermittent fasting. One is to go on like a 5-2 diet, where you eat regularly 5 days and 2 days you have a skimpy, maybe 500 or 700 calories. Or alternatively, you have time-restricted eating, which isn't it comes under the rubric of intermittent fasting, but it's actually something different where, you have an eating window or from, 11 in the morning till 7 at night, 8 hours of eating and then 16 hours of non-eating, which is, has benefits. And this article I think is kind of silly because it's just looking at, the most gross endpoints. Like, do you have better looking blood test or do you lose weight? And they say, look, obviously anything that puts, some barrier between you and the refrigerator, you're going to lose weight. It's like, if you put a timer in your refrigerator, the door doesn't open before 11 and then it locks at 7, you're going to lose some weight. you are.
Yeah.
Because you're reducing eating opportunities. So yes, you can lose weight. Although I've seen some studies that show that intermittent fasting doesn't make people lose weight. I've also seen some studies showing that it is ideal for insulin resistance. So it might be, like that gentleman who's on the keto diet, maybe people don't want to be in a keto diet. Maybe they just want to have time restricted eating. I know that you tell some people, that one of the ways they can improve their blood sugar is just, why don't you do time restricted eating?
Absolutely.
And I think there are studies that show that. Mm-hmm. So this article doesn't acknowledge that. It says that it doesn't necessarily lengthen your lifespan, like caloric restriction. Caloric restriction in some studies of mammals extends lifespan, but it's a pretty daunting
prospect.
How long
do you want to be hungry?
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
The old saying is like...
You'll live longer, but you'll eat miserable.
Right. It's like, you may not live longer, but it'll seem like longer.
That's
right. So this is one of those journalistic clickbait kind of articles where they do quote a 6-month clinical trial whose results published last year compared people who followed a type of intermittent fasting, people who ate normally. And the people in the fasting group lost 8% of their body weight on average, but aside from a small improvement in the body's processing of glucose, well, that's what we're talking about, insulin resistance, the fasters did show benefits in health and longevity markers such as inflammation levels. Well, here's the other thing that happens when you don't eat is you undergo autophagy and mitophagy. And yes. Those are an opportunity for the body to clean up and rest. And there may be some benefits in terms of overall health and health span rather than longevity to that.
Sure.
I mean, I don't religiously practice this, but when I can, when I don't have a, you know, I like to eat something before I start a day, if I have a busy day. But if I don't and I have an unstructured day, I may have my first meal at 11 or 12. You know, last meal the night before it's 7 or 8.
And there are days and even occasions. Today was actually eventful in that regard. We had this photo shoot and we didn't get home. You know, I didn't get home to eat lunch until it was shortly after about 3 or so.
Right.
Well, guess what? I'm not going to be hungry for dinner, so I'm not going to be having any dinner.
Yeah. I wish I was
breakfast tomorrow morning at 7:30.
I wish I was like you. I am unfortunately so conditioned to have 3 meals that it's really tough. Because I did what you did because I was that same photo shoot. I ate at like 3 or 2:30, and I'm going to be hungry for dinner. You know, it's not going to be a big chow down, but you know, I'm still going to
It'll be a little something.
Yeah.
Sure. But my point is you could do it that way too. Some people, they're just hungry in the morning. They want to eat in the morning. They don't feel like they get their motor running until they've had breakfast. I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit like that. Not all the time lately, which is interesting, but I love doing it this way too, because I truly love, and traditional Chinese medicine even encourages that we stop eating 5 hours before bedtime.
Oh, yeah. I wish I could do that
too. So everybody finish eating. I wish I could do that. Everybody finish eating by 5. Finish, not start dinner, but finish. So bedtime is 10 p.m. That would be ideal. And it's fabulous sleep.
I think my mom conditioned me with those Hostess Twinkie snacks with a glass of milk before bedtime. I guess it's just comfort that I got to have a little bit, you know, not right before I go to sleep, but, you know, a little you know, like après dinner.
For me, it was yodels. Oh, my gosh. I love yodels. The more like the little Swiss roll type things.
And we survived. And we survived.
Oh, and we survived. Heck, I used to put Nestle's Quick on my cornflakes and then put the milk on. I mean, that's
five.
Yeah, it was a...
I will point out that they acknowledge in this article that one of the drawbacks to intermittent fasting, and it's been pointed out by one of the podcasters that I listen to, Peter Attia, who's a popular podcaster, who is not... he's kind of skeptical about nutritional supplements, so we differ on that front. But he's a really good good analyst of science, and he breaks down studies very competently. And he's also on kind of a project to really maximize his exercise quotient. And he's an inveterate lifelong athlete and exerciser, and he did used to do intermittent fasting, but one of the things that he is concerned about with intermittent fasting is it may not allow enough windows for eating adequate protein to fend off sarcopenia, which occurs later in life. So it might have worked for him when he was younger and a competitive athlete, but now that he's on a project to maintain muscle mass in the face of inexorable decline and this potential for frailty, he wants to have adequate opportunities to eat protein to fend off sarcopenia. So he's abandoned that, gained some weight, but it's all good because it's lean muscle mass.
Right.
So, yeah.
You know, I often lately advise clients that if there's going to be any food left over on your plate, make sure that you get all the protein in first.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's anything left over, certainly let it be the grains.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be some of your vegetables. But get that piece of fish in, get that steak in, get that chicken in, especially if you're doing... A lot of people now are having brunch and dinner.
Right.
It's just kind of become a lifestyle. But to make sure that they're getting that adequate protein, especially as we get older...
Well, that's what we tell the kiddies, too. You know, because they're all... They just love the carbs. And it's like, no, eat your protein first. Then you can have, you know, the potatoes or you can have the rice, you know, and emphasize the protein because that's the business end of, you know, developing bodies. Yes. Okay, good stuff. Do we have another question, or is that, did we expend our entire...
It's going to be, I think we're going to have, this question is too big to take as a last question towards the end of our podcast. Yeah, we'll hear. Yeah.
Good. Okay. So just, I want to remind people that, you know, if you haven't already heard, we've got a holiday sale coming up like everybody else, Black Friday sale. We're also getting in on the opportunity to offer you a little bit at holiday time, November 29th through December 3rd, 5 days only, get 10% off and free shipping on my entire inventory of top supplements at gearhopandstore.com. That's 10% off and free shipping from November 29th through December 3rd. That's gearhopandstore.com. And if we don't have a chance to talk before then, I've got several podcasts to record, but we're going to take a little hiatus for Intelligent Medicine. Yeah. Keep sending your questions. We'll come back right back at you in December after Thanksgiving. And have yourselves a great holiday. You know, enjoy the bounty that we all celebrate at holiday time with friends, family, or with, you know, whoever you want to hang out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Whether it's Thanksgiving, Friendsgiving, whatever you're doing, enjoy it, eat well, you know, and engage and be happy and take it all in and try not to do it virtually.
Exactly.
Like we've been conditioned.
All right. Thanks, Layla. Talk to you soon.
Yes. Thanks, Dr. Hoppen. Thank you, everybody. And to remind everyone, email your questions to questions@drhoffman.net. That is questions@drhoffman.net.
And comments are always welcome as well. You know, if you have a comment about, you know, what we've talked about, if you've got, you know, just want to share your experience of trying out some of the things that we recommend here on the program, that's fine too. Doesn't necessarily have to be in the form of something with a question mark at the end.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Thanks, Layla. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news, and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mutin, registered dietitian nutritionist. I maintain a private practice and see patients regularly. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone and telehealth consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.